House Appropriations will come to order. The Secretary will take the roll.
House Appropriations Committee roll call for Thursday, April 20th, 2017. Vice Chair Brodel.
Here.
Minority Vice Chair McCarthy.
Here.
Representative Hopkins.
Thank you.
Excused.
Representative Homeland.
Here.
Representative Ryan.
Here.
Representative Lynch.
Here.
Representative Kenoki.
Here.
Representative Cook.
Excused.
Representative Hamlet. Representative Peppers.
Here.
Representative Bartel.
Here.
Representative Burnett. Representative Cheetah.
Here.
Representative Cuff.
Here.
Representative Ellis.
Here.
Representative Woods.
Aye.
Representative Jones.
Here.
Representative Keene.
Here.
Representative Dudek.
Here.
Representative Patelis.
Here.
Representative Glim.
Here.
Chair Balance.
Here. Okay, we have the bills coming around. You will have seen them just a couple minutes ago. So quickly before we start, we have something for our secretary to thank her for the work that she's done. We heard that there was a favorite restaurant of yours in Butte. So we have a gift certificate for you for your favorite restaurant in Butte. You are welcome. Thank you for the work you've done. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, and now we have the bills in front of us. We will open the hearing on Senate Bill 368, Senator Richmond.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Tom Richmond. I represent Senate District 28 in Yellowstone County. I bring you today Senate Bill 368, which is a bipartisan effort to revise the campaign contributions laws of our state and to establish some policy in the Commissioner of Political Practices office for a couple of important reasons. One of the important reasons is that the original campaign contribution limits in our statute were found to be unconstitutional by a federal court. The law rolled back to previous contribution limits, which in some cases are actually lower than what was found to be unconstitutional. This is an effort on several of our parts to put the campaign contribution limits at a point where they are, to the best of our abilities to know, constitutional. And it is, I think, important for the legislature to set the policy for campaign contribution limits. I doubt that any of us see money as free speech, but that is the law of the land. And so it is important to the folks that worked on this bill that we have campaign contribution limits. Now, in addition to the limits, you'll see that we've changed some policy. And that was from a need we felt as candidates, you as candidates, that there needed to be another step in the Commissioner of Political Practices office that allowed another set of eyes to look at administrative penalties besides just the commissioner. So you characterize it as judge, jury, and executioner, and we felt that it was important to have something else in that process. What we picked was mediation. And so that's what the bill basically does. It does some other kind of important things for those of us that run campaigns. It makes the contribution limits per election cycle, not per election. So if there's a primary and a general, that's one election cycle. You don't have to keep track of all your contributions separately from election to election. Maybe have duplicate bank accounts, transfer money back and forth. So that's one important thing we thought we could do for us as candidates. unfortunately, the House put in an amendment on that sort of increased the fiscal consequences more than I actually expected it. The original fiscal note, I don't know if you have the original fiscal note because I can't find my copy of it, but you will find that it's significantly less. The revised fiscal note looks at a process that was amended in the House that basically puts the Attorney General in charge of some of the process that we anticipated that the Commissioner of Political Practices would do it himself, and that substantially increased the cost. Every time you hire an attorney, obviously, you have to pay the attorney. If you hire the Attorney General through agency legal services or whoever provides that service, they have a fixed rate. You have to cover the cost. So, ordinarily, of course, without the appropriation, this would come back to the Senate. The Senate would probably, on my recommendation, reject the amendments and we go to conference committee. I feel if we go to conference committee, we will be able to reduce the overall fiscal impacts of this bill. I can't tell you exactly how much, but I think if you look on line 8 of the second page of the fiscal note, the assumption about the costs of mediation is probably reasonable and probably accurate. And I would hope that we could get the fiscal impact down to approximate that number on line 8, which is $56,000, assuming we can get together in a conference committee and make those changes. And with that, Madam Chair, I know we're getting close to the floor, so I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Senator Richmond. We'll ask for proponents. Are there proponents? Are there opponents? Informational witnesses. Questions from the committee. Representative Cuff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Richmond, you just mentioned the line 8, and it says assume that page 2, line 8, Madam Chair, Mr. Richmond. Assume two respondents will pick mediator efforts at $32,000 and 10 from the mediator list at $8,000 each. I guess I don't understand how that works.
Okay, Madam Chair, Representative Cuff, I think what we had envisioned for mediation, and thanks to Commissioner Modell for helping with an amendment on this, the amendment has the commissioner develop a list of 10 mediators. When you go in to pick a mediator, the commissioner picks a mediator, you pick a mediator. There's actually a good House amendment on there that says finally who gets to pick the mediator, and it is the candidate or the respondent to the complaint. You have to pay your share of the mediation. The commissioner has to pay his share of the mediation, and that's, as far as I can tell, that's a reasonably accurate estimate of what mediation would cost.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Follow up.
Okay. Well, what I'm struggling with is we're going to pick a mediator for $32,000, and then we're going to pay 10 people $8,000 each. Yeah, I see the 50%. I'm just saying, how does that work? Why, if we're picking one mediator, why do we have, it looks to me like, 11 people involved?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cuff, I don't think this sentence is particularly well constructed. I think what was meant here is that there would be two cases go to mediation.
Okay.
I think that's what's meant. That's what I would assume, too, is that there wouldn't be a lot of use of the mediator because both parties have to pay for the mediator, including the candidate or the respondent. I doubt that there's very many of us that would want to pay for mediation, but it is an option, and it should be available to the candidate if they want to pick it.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Dudick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Madam Chair.
Senator Richmond, Madam Chair. I was just hoping you could clarify and just remind us as a committee, what are the current campaign limits? And if the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decides against the state, what will those limits revert to? Because we do have limits in our state. They aren't just unlimited contributions. I just don't recall what they were. Could you clarify?
I can, I think. Well, maybe I can. Mm-hmm. Okay. Madam Chair, Representative Dudick, there are a lot of campaign contribution limits in the statute.
I clarify.
Let me just address a couple of them that I know off the top of my head.
Actually, we should stay on just on the fiscal note.
Okay.
And the limits themselves won't affect fiscal note. And Senator Richmond, do you have to be on the floor at 1?
I do, but fortunately I ran across a whip who will excuse me.
Who will excuse you till we're done. Okay.
Done, so.
All right. Representative Keene.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Madam Chair, Representative Keene, there we go.
Madam Chair, Senator Richmond is a person who's been through a lot of mediations, hired a lot mediators. These numbers, in my opinion, are probably low, and why would we want to go to mediation? I mean, it doesn't solve it instantly. The mediator hears the case, and he takes time, and he's charging you the whole time for all of that. Why would we ever want to do that?
Madam Chair, Representative Keene, I think that our focus was on trying to interject another step in that process to kind of to break the process up and to let somebody else look at what was proposed as administrative penalty and determine whether or not it was reasonable. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be used very often, but I think it will be used in some cases depending on the penalty requested. And the potential for whatever that end frame looks like. I suspect if it's a $500 potential fine, nobody's going to want to do mediation. If it's a $50,000 fine, maybe somebody will want to do mediation. It is a step. There were other choices. Mediation seemed like the one most people were comfortable with, and so that's the one we picked. And I actually do have a table with the campaign contribution limits on it that I finally found. So if you'd like a copy of this, I can perhaps
sure.
get somebody to make a copy of it for
us. I believe it is also on the Secretary of State's website, I think. So, yeah, but we may do that. Okay, seeing no further questions, would you like to close, Senator Richmond?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just briefly... there's a couple of important things about this bill. I think it makes it a little easier for us as candidates, as campaigners, to run a campaign. The thing about the single election cycle, I think, is important to me. Some people never have primaries. Some people always have primaries. But it is an artificial determination, I think. And it creates problems keeping track of things. I think there's a lot. Every time we make an opportunity to make a mistake, we make an opportunity to be challenged on our mistake. So the simpler we can make it, the better. I think the change to a single election cycle rather than two separate elections is a good change. We need to set the policy for the campaign contribution limits as a legislature, as campaigners. We need to understand that when the initiative was passed, it set the old limits. The concern was that candidates would get too much money spent on their campaigns. The concern really has changed over the years to having outside groups spending money on campaigns without oversight. So it's not so much that we as individuals now can accept too much money. We have a pretty transparent process. We have a pretty comprehensive reporting process. And what we receive, we have to report every dollar of it, regardless of minimal contributions or whatever. We still have to report everything that comes to us with its source. The real concern, I think, is going to court, losing again, and then having no campaign contribution limits and just having the whole thing wide open. So I think we as a legislature need to set the policy. You might not agree with the numbers, but it should be up to us to determine what those numbers are and that they be reasonable and that they honor where the courts are going with money as free speech. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Richmond. And this closes the hearing on Senate Bill 368. And we will open executive action on Senate Bill 368. And Representative Rodell.
Madam Chair. I move do concur on Senate Bill 368.
Question's been called. We'll do a roll call vote on 368.
Vice Chair Brodell.
Yes.
Minority Vice Chair McCarthy.
No.
Representative Hopkins.
Yes, by proxy.
Representative Homeland.
Yes.
Representative Ryan.
No.
Representative Lynch.
No.
Representative Kenoki.
Yes.
Representative Cook.
Yes, by proxy.
Representative Hamlet.
No, by proxy.
Representative Peppers.
No.
Representative Bartel.
Yes.
Representative Burnett.
Yes.
Representative Cheetah.
Yes.
Representative Cuff.
Yes.
Representative Ellis.
No.
Representative Woods.
No.
Representative Jones.
Yes.
Representative Keene.
No.
Representative Dudick.
No.
Representative Patelis.
Yes.
Representative Glim.
Yes.
Chair Balance.
Yes.
Madam Chair, 13 representatives have voted aye, 9 have voted no.
Senate Bill 368 is concurred in. And this ends our action. It looks like there are two bills potentially that we could get this afternoon. I think we'll try to do those in the morning, but we'll need to meet at 8 in the morning. We'll come down, do those two bills if they do pass on the floor, and then send those back up before the second session tomorrow. Okay. We are adjourned.